Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Please. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you. Hola. Please, thank you. Thank you. Please, thank you. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you. It's a joy to be here. Okay. Let me preach, okay? Thank you. Thank you. This morning when I was praying and thinking about being here, and as I drove up, I'm very grateful, I'm very honored to be here. In 81, the Lord allowed me to come and thank the Lord for the men that influenced my life. I was remembering this morning Brother Mitchell, his father, and how he introduced me to my wife, amen? And then his humble heart to serve. And I remember in Epistles class, Brother Darrell Moore, weeping over souls. And that just transformed me. And then I joined Division 8, amen? And then worked in South Chicago. Then I was Division 9 also. And amen. And amen. And then, of course, this place changed my life. Remember one message that Dr. House preached on wisdom, and it's just a message that God used him to change me. And Dr. Ray Young preaching on John 3:16, and night bus preaching, many decisions made out here around that lake, Baptist City, pastor school. First time I heard a message. The Holy Spirit transforms me. And I will always be grateful, my wife also, for House Anderson College. What God did for us and through many people who served here and staff. Of course, Dr. Evans at the time was the president, and his heart and his teachings. And well, thank the Lord. I can go on and on. Many people that I remember with gratitude. And of course, above all, our Lord and Savior, because we owe him everything. And I thank him for what he has done, and that he be honored and glorified. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. I'm looking forward to our church head class. We also have a college. We have graduated over 1,000 students now that are serving the Lord, many parts of Mexico, many parts of the world. And I teach in our college. I teach several classes in our college. One of the classes that I teach is like a church ed class. It's an 8-semester course. I teach you different aspects of the ministry. And I'm looking forward very much to teaching today and tomorrow in chapel. And I'm very, very honored to be here and to have a little part, just a little part in your preparation to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's my honor and my privilege. But I want to speak to you. There in Romans chapter 1, I want to read verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For several minutes this morning, I want to talk to you about the greatness of the gospel. The greatness of the gospel. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the honor of being here. Thank you, Lord, for what you've did in my heart and life here at this place at the First Baptist Church. And Lord, thank you for what you've done, the faithfulness of men throughout these years, and how this college has influenced not only America, but many parts of the world. And thank you for what you have done. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified. May you bless what you've put in my heart to share today. In Christ's name, amen. The greatness of the gospel. remember when Dr. Evans was one time teaching a church head class. He said the greatest calling is to be called to preach the gospel. Now, at the time, being a naive, green, very, very immature college student, I'm not saying you are, but I was, I thought to myself, yes, the gospel, but, and I thought to myself, is there something else? And of course, I was very naive. There's nothing greater than the gospel. Paul said there in Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, and it says, separated unto the gospel of God. Then he said in 1 Thessalonians, and I'll turn there, but he said that he was entrusted with the gospel. He was put in trust with the gospel. And Paul was consumed with the gospel. He was separated under the gospel. He was entrusted the gospel. And there's not a greater trust, my brother, my sister, for us to be trusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why for Paul, the purpose of his life was to preach the gospel. Look what he says there in verse 15, so much as his enemy, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Then, of course, in Romans 15:20, he said, in verse 20, he said, yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Paul was consumed with preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel message is wonderful because it is a message of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Christ, according to the scriptures, died and on the cross of Calvary. He was buried, and 3 days later, according to scripture, he was risen from the dead. And because of that, there's hope. Because of that, there's salvation. Because of that, there's eternal life. Yes, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel should be the central message of the church. And the gospel must be preached to every creature around the world. We must send forth the gospel to the four corners of the world. The greatness of the gospel. First of all, I want you to look with me at the supremacy of the gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, the word supremacy means absolute superiority. Absolute superiority. There is no message that is more important or more glorious than the gospel message. And because of the supremacy of the gospel, we can never, ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Paul, at the end of his life, said in 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Oh, what a privilege to be a representative of Christ. What a privilege to stand in a street corner and preach the gospel. What a privilege to go to a door and knock on the door and preach the gospel. What a privilege to be called to preach the gospel your entire life here in America and the othermost parts of the world. The gospel is supreme because it is an eternal message. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwelt on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And forever we will rejoice in the gospel. It is an eternal message. Because of the supremacy of the gospel, the Bible says, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Several weeks ago, I had the privilege of being in the Philippines preaching at a conference, and I was not with Rick Martin. I had been with Rick Martin there in Iloilo in the Philippines. And that I stayed, we were with him at the time many years ago, like 4 or 5 days, and had the privilege of seeing that wonderful ministry and just spending time with him. And he shared with me his heart's a desire and the goal of his life was that every person in the Philippines would hear the gospel. His vision that in every island, over 1,000 islands in the Philippines, there would be a church. His vision that from the Philippines that the gospel may be preached to every creature. And that time with brother Martin challenged me, and my heart was challenged. And I went back to Mexico, and we started with that same vision to take the gospel to every creature, to start churches, to send missionaries, and because the Bible says that every creature must hear the gospel. And because of the supremacy of the gospel, we must preach the gospel to every creature. Because of the supremacy of the gospel, young person, we must be willing to give our lives for the gospel. We must be willing to give our lives for the gospel. In 1980, 1986, I had the privilege of going back to Mexico to be invited to speak. I was working for Pastor Gomez there in Northwest Bible Baptist Church, and I met some missionaries, Brother Mike Patterson. He's now with Christ, and his family, and other missionaries doing Shindel, and I saw them how they gave their life for the Mexican people, and God just really spoke to my heart. And I'll be honest with you, when I come back to America and I have the privilege of preaching in churches, I always thank the churches in America for giving the gospel to our country. If it wasn't for the American missionary, if it wasn't for the American church that have invested millions and millions of dollars in my country, for missionaries who have died on the mission. In the year 1998, Truett Swole and his wife Carrie went to be with us to prepare to go to South Mexico to start a church. And he had been there 5 weeks I took him with me on a trip traveling north of Mexico to speak at a conference, and a semi-truck hit us head on, and 4 of the 6 men in that van died, including Truett Swole. 2 of us lived by the mercy of God. And every time I drive by the place where he died, I thank God for the American missionary who have given their life to preach the gospel to those that have not the gospel. And that is what you've been called to do, young person, and because of the supremacy of the gospel message, it is a privilege to give our lives to get the gospel to those that have never heard the gospel. Paul said to the weak, I became weak as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all to all things to all men, that I might by some means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Oh, because of the gospel, we need to be willing to sacrifice our lives, sacrifice our resources, sacrifice even if it has our very health. William Carey said, as men and as Christians, we cannot ignore that the majority of our friends and neighbors whose souls are as immortal as ours are lost. Hudson Taylor, and it is said that the sun ever rose in China, that he was not before God begging for the millions of souls in China. He said, I would never have come to China if I did not believe that the Chinese people are lost and need Christ. And that's what we need to be consumed. And in my heart, young person, is that God would use this message to consume you with the gospel, with the supremacy of the gospel, to prepare your lives, to give your lives, to be willing to say, Lord, wherever you send me, I will go, and to be faithful to the day that Christ comes or he calls you to his presence, that you're giving wholly to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need the heart of Paul. Because of the supremacy of the gospel, we should also, like Paul, say, woe unto us if we preach not the gospel. Because of the supremacy of the gospel, we must be willing to live lives that are consistent with the gospel message. There in the book of Philippians in chapter 1, and because of time, I'll just read it to you. Verse 27, if only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And see, our lives are our manner of living in holiness, man, lives that honor Christ, it's necessary because there must be congruency with the message of the gospel and the way we live. Because of the supremacy of the gospel, we need to stand in the defense of the gospel. Philippians 1:7, Paul says, even as it is neat for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in so much as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Ye all are partakers of my grace. And we need to be faithful to preach the gospel and never water down the gospel. We need to preach faithfully the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there's no other gospel that is true. We need to be careful, and I just want to say this, and I'll go on, that we don't water down the gospel just to have results. Be faithful to preach the gospel, which includes preaching repentance for people to be able to believe, be saved. I believe that we, as we have been entrusted with the gospel message, we need to be faithful to preach the gospel, for people to be able to understand the gospel, understand that they are sinners, understand that there's a penalty for their sin, understand that the sufficiency of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for their salvation, and believe in Christ. We need to be careful that we preach the gospel faithfully. And because of the supremacy of the gospel, we must be willing to pay a price for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul said in Philippians 1, 12 and 13, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. January of 1956, five missionary families died trying to make contact with the Alca Indians who live in the Amazon jungles in Ecuador. Because of their death, hundreds and hundreds of American men and young women were called to the mission field. And praise the Lord, today in those parts of the world, and those Indians have the gospel. The people were willing to give their lives and understand that if it's for the furtherance of the gospel, blessed be the Lord. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we see the greatness of the gospel because of the supremacy of the gospel, but also, I love this, because of the sufficiency of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Thus, the sufficiency of the gospel, it is the power of God to all who believe, salvation to all them that believe the gospel. The gospel is the power of God that saves, because of what Christ did on the cross and because of his glorious resurrection. The sufficiency of the gospel. The word power, dunamis, it means strength, supernatural power. And the gospel message saves sinners from their sins. And it is God's eternal plan that the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection from the dead would save men from their sins. I love 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Praise God. The gospel saves the worst and lowest of sinners. Several years ago, we were having a special day in our church, and we were working in a certain area, a very, very meaty area in our city. And I drove up to where our people were winning souls and got out of the car, and there was the railroad crosses that area. And last night I heard trains all night, but oh well. And the railroad crosses that area. And as I got out of the car, there was a young teenage, 16, 17-year-old young man sitting on the railroads with a paper bag sniffing on drugs. He was sniffing glue. It's awful. It's terrible for you. Destroys the brain. And as I saw him, my heart went out to him, and I said, "Hello." And he responded. He was lucid still. And so I said, "Can I sit? Can you share?" No, I didn't say that. I said, "Would you allow me to sit next to you and talk to you?" He said, "Sure." So I sat down and I opened the Word of God, and I gave him the gospel, and his name was Daniel, trusted Christ as his Savior. And I asked him, would you come to church? Where do you live? And he kind of told me where he lived, but he wasn't too much about giving him his address. So I left and went soul winning with our people. About 4 years, 5 years later, I was in an area that I started a bus route, and I was knocking doors and walking down a condominium, and as I was walking down the stairs from the second floor, there was a young man that saw me, and he says, "Are you Pastor Ramos?" And I had no idea who he was, and I said, "Yes, I am." So he ran downstairs to the first floor, and he said, "Mom, you got to come meet Pastor Ramos." And his mom walked out with some of his relatives, and he said, "Pastor Ramos," and I met his mother. "You see, you recognize me?" And I said, "I'm sorry, son, I don't recognize you." He said, "Do you remember about 5 years ago there in Terceras Grandes, that's the name of the area, sitting on the railroad, on the road?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That was me." He said, "Brother Ramos, after you left, soon after that, I started going to a Baptist church, another Baptist church in our city." And he said, "Brother Ramos, I'm in Bible Institute. And today Daniel is assistant pastor of the church that he has started to attend." And see, that's the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. We had in our church one day a man come, walk the aisle, and he just got out of jail, at a high security jail in Mexico. And he was a drug trafficker. He was a part of a dog. His father was a major leader of a major drug cartel in Mexico. He would fly airplanes from Colombia to Corpus Christi, like once or twice a week. And he was held up and went to jail. And when he walked out of jail, he would stop Joe witnesses. "Please talk to, I need God." He would talk to, and somebody invited him to our church. And Tomas Santos, several years ago, walked down the aisle, came to know Christ as a Savior. And now he helps us. When he was in jail, he said that he would take scriptures, papers, and he would roll them up and he would make joints and smoke marijuana. That's how the kind of man he was. God changed his life. And then he became one of our Bible printers. We have a Bible printing ministry. But see, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Oh, we see the supremacy of the gospel. We see the sufficiency of the gospel. Oh, but praise the Lord, we see the simplicity of the gospel. For it is the power of God and salvation to everyone, praise God. Not just a couple of elected, no. Everyone that believeth. The simplicity of the gospel to everyone that believes in Christ. Salvation is as simple as receiving a gift. Salvation is as simple as drinking a glass of water. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself, but it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Like that Philippian jailer said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy household. It is to one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Salvation. What a wonderful gift. That's why it is important that we explain the gospel, that people understand the gospel, that they may believe in the gospel. They may believe in the person of Jesus Christ. The simplicity of the gospel. Young person, I challenge you to stay faithful to preach the gospel. May your life be consumed with preaching the gospel. May you understand the greatness of the gospel and give your life so that men and women around the world may receive the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel. We see the supremacy of the gospel. We see the sufficiency of the gospel. We see the simplicity of the gospel. But look with me in Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And lastly, we see the sublime nature of the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from death, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel changed our position before God. We have been made righteous. We have been justified. We are in Christ and we are with Christ. I love this passage. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He had loved us, even when we were yet dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a blessed message. Salvation, eternal, righteous before God, justified. What a wonderful message, the gospel message. Righteous before God. Accepted in the beloved. I don't want to get custom to be able to go before the throne and understand that I'm accepted just as I am before God because of Christ, because of the gospel, and my prayers are accepted, and my life is accepted, and now He's my Lord, He's my Savior. Have the privilege of serving Him and have the privilege of representing Him. Oh yes, the sublime nature of the gospel changed my position before God forever. Hallelujah. The gospel changed our position, but also the gospel changed our manner of living. Just shall live by faith. It is by faith we live the Christian life. It is by faith that we serve Him. It is by faith that we obey Him. It is by faith we do the work of the ministry. It is by faith that we start churches. It is by faith that we give. It is by faith that we say, Lord, here am I. Send me. It is by faith. Remember, for a year and a half, I asked God to show me if He wanted me to go back to Mexico, because I knew God was calling me to Mexico. And I was so burdened, and therefore once a week I would fast every day, every once a week, and asking God to confirm to me where He wanted me to serve Him, where He wanted me to go if in Mexico, and what He was and his calling, that I wanted him to confirm his calling on my life to Mexico. And I went to Bourbonnais pastors got together and it was preaching. And that day, as missionary was preaching about the need around the world, he mentioned Mexico, and God just broke my heart. It just broke my heart. I could not stop crying all day long. At evening, I went back to our home and went over to the church, and I said, "Lord, I don't know what you're asking. I don't know all that you're asking me to do, but Lord, I give you my family. I give you our lives. Lord, please confirm to us where he wants us." And that night, the Lord confirmed to me that he wanted us to go to San Luis Potosí, Mexico. 11 months after that, well, a year after that, I was at a missions conference in Atlanta, Georgia, and I walked into a home. And as I walked into the home, there was a family there, and missionary came up. I greeted the people there, and one of the missionaries came up to me. He said, "But Ramos," he said, my name is Tommy Tillman. And he said, I'm a missionary in Thailand. He says, "Brother Ramos, where are you missionary to?" And he said, "Well, Brother Tillman, God has called me to Mexico." And he said, "I was born in Mexico." And I said, "I'm going back to the town, city that I was born." And he said, "Where's that, Brother Ramos?" And I said, "That's San Luis Potosí, Mexico, the city." When I said that, he began to shake. And he began to cry. He said, "Brother Ramos, you're not going to believe this." He said, 8 years ago, I was driving through Mexico, because before going to Thailand, I was a missionary in Belize, South America, Belize there, just south of Mexico. And I was driving through on a Sunday morning. I arrived in San Luis Potosí. And I looked for a church. I arrived in downtown San Luis Potosí. I looked for a church to congregate. And I was so overwhelmed with the Catholicism, because just in the downtown area, in a three, four square miles, there's like 11 Catholic churches. And he said, "But Ramos, God broke my heart for the city." He said that afternoon, I rested, but I couldn't sleep that night. And so I spent all night walking, and there's a park there in the central part of Mexico, San Luis Potosí. He said, "All night I prayed. And I asked God if he wanted me to come back to San Luis Potosí, Mexico, start a church, or God would please send someone to San Luis Potosí." He said, "For 8 years, Brother Ramos, I've been praying for someone to go to San Luis Potosí." And he said, "You're the answer to my prayer." And I thank the Lord, because family members, my grandma, who was a very Catholic, my mom's side, there's priests in the family. Great uncle of mine was a priest there in our city. Nuns from our family were nuns there in the city. My grandma was from that family, very Catholic. I remember one time I was witnessing to my cousins in front of her, and she came behind me and she said, "Don't you dare." You know, she just was very against me. But my grandma fell and broke her hip, and I began to attend her and help her and buy medicine for her and began a relationship with her. And witnessed to her, and she would never commit herself. And she went to several of our special days there in San Luis Potosí, but never committed. And one Sunday morning, I had gone to pick people up for church, and my aunt calls me, and she says, "Son, your grandma is very ill. She's on the way to the hospital, and she's asking for you, not the priest." Yeah, she asked for me. I drove to the hospital, and I met her. I got there just as she was getting there. And I talked to my grandma. I was able to lead her to Christ. That was 8:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, my grandma went to heaven. And so I just thank the Lord for the privilege of serving Christ. And because of his prayers and because of God's working, we have had the privilege of being in that city. And God has done a wonderful work for the glory of God. Young person, give yourself for the gospel. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being here. Thank you so much, Lord, for the gospel, the message of the gospel. Lord, may we be consumed with the gospel. May we give our lives to the gospel cause. May you use us to get the gospel to a world that's needy. Lord, may you use us in a great way for the glory of your name. May you call some of these young people to the mission field. Such a great need around the world. Oh God, please bless. Please be exalted. I pray this in Christ's name.